According to the dictionary, which I use all the time in all of my studies, the definition of a backsliding is relapse into the bad habit or sinful nature, sinful behavior. This phrase reminds me of the vivid description of the verse that comes from the Proverbs. Proverbs 26:15, please. 26:11. Proverbs 26:11. Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to his own vomit, wonder what he's going to do, so a fool retreats his folly, and repeat his folly. You get the point, right? And we all wrinkle our eyebrows and we understand exactly what that dog would do and what this verse means. But when it comes to our own sinful life, our own spiritual lives, we don't want to describe quite in that way. But no matter how we want to candy coat the backsliding, it is ugly and it is a disobedience to God. You follow? No matter how you want to candy coat it, backsliding is a disobedience to God. In 19th century British statesman Richard Bobden said this, every great nation fell by suicide. Let me say one more time. Every great nation fell by suicide. Oh boy, if that doesn't describe the current state of the United States of America, I don't know what else is. And he also described the history of Judah, history of Israel. Sudden political and military blow from the outside did not destroy Judah and Israel. The decay, moral decay, and the spiritual decay came from within. And Judah was thoroughly decayed. And these last two chapters of the Second Kings describe the dark chapters of their history. I believe that we have a great deal of principle waiting for us to recover and to learn from it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as your word said, we should walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we must be aware of what is happening in our lives. To do that, we must have your presence and your word with us at all times. Show us our faults to correct us. Show us the right way and guide us to the path of righteousness for your name's sake alone. And we also pray for the President Obama's salvation that he may come to know Jesus. That he may do what is right in your sight. That he may be righteous man, holy man of God. And we pray for our troops within the United States as well as around the globe. And you protect them, especially the one in the Afghanistan and the Iraq. We ask you to watch over them. And we also ask you to watch over the uniformed personnel, firefighters, and law enforcement personnel, especially lifting up the Border Patrol agent of those who are risking lives to protect our border. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 24 in 2 Kings, please. Chapter 24, verse 1. In these days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his vessel for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him, and the Lord sent him a raiding band of Chaldeans, a band of Assyrians, a band of Moabites, and the bands of the people of Ammon. Maybe they had a battle of the bands, huh? He sent them against Judah to destroy it in according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken by his servant the prophet. Surely at the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. God has given Israel to occupy the land under one condition, simple obedience to him. See, does it mean, did they still own the land? Yes, they have unconditional covenant from God to own the land. That land was given to them from God through Abraham. However, the right to occupy is dependent on that condition. Follow God, obedient to God, they could stay there. But they failed that condition time after time throughout the history. Folks, listen up. God's faithfulness has both sides. God's faithfulness has both sides. Blessing for our obedience and punishment and chastisement for our disobedience. He would not wink at our sins or think that is cute because since we are his children. He's not like some parents who would not discipline their children because it might hurt their self-esteem. There's a Greek word for that. You know that, right? What do you call it? Hogwash. You guys are getting good at that Greek word. We have a tendency to think that the Lord should be faithful in blessing us as well as and overlook our when it comes to chastisement. But because of the nature of his character, holiness and righteousness, he cannot let us get by with that. Because he loves us too much to let us get by with a sinful behavior. Verse 8, now move down a little, but verse 8 in chapter 24. Jehoiachin, this is the Jehoiakim's son, but he is a Chinese guy. Jehoiachin, you know how that goes. Do you know how the Chinese people name their kids? They throw the metal ball into the front of the house. Ping, tang, kong, chin. There, your name is Chin. I know some of you are thinking, he's racist. Well, I can convince somebody I'm from China, right? So then I'm not racist. Actually, I'm not from China. I'm from somewhere else. You guys know where I'm from, right? No, it's not. Sweden. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Nehushta, and the daughter of El-Nathan of Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servant of the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city as his servant was besieging it. And then Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, his mother, his servant, his princes, and his officers went out to the king of Babylon, and the king of Babylon, in eighth year of his reign, took him prisoner. And he carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and he cut in pieces all the articles of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. Also, he carried into the captivity the old Jerusalem, all the captains and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained except the first people of the land. Jehoiachin did evil in the sight of the Lord. This guy just didn't get it. That is the reason why God allowed these foreign enemies to come and invade the land time after time. Rather than obeying God and worshiping him, he chose to follow idols of a pagan country. which is nothing at all. When Christian backslide, listen, when Christian backslide, they lose what they cherish and what they value highly. Family, trust, and respect. Just as the people of Judah lost their treasures of the house of the Lord and all the articles of gold which Solomon had made to put in the temple of the Lord. You understand? When a person backslides, they get to lose what they cherish most. And according to the ancient tradition, this is tradition, so we don't know whether it's really happened or not. So this is just a side note. According to the ancient tradition, the Jewish tradition, Jeremiah, the prophet, managed to hide the Ark of Covenant into somewhere so that it wouldn't be broken into pieces and shipped out to Babylon. We don't know that. But if that happened, I wouldn't be one bit surprised it shows up right before the rebuilding of the temple by the Antichrist. Just as an extra touch to convince Jewish people that he is the Messiah. Wouldn't that be just a nice touch? But then again, I don't know, so I will just move over. I need to stop here and talk about the backsliding of the believers of Jesus Christ. You may say, well, that will never happen to me because I'm so tight with God, so tight with God, and so close to God. Not me. Somebody else. Let me say this to you. I've known many Christians who walk with God for years, including some Calvary Chapel pastors whom I knew and whom I respect dearly. And they fell. When they fell into sin, it was obvious, it was a blatant sin right in front of their faces, and they talked about it and they fell right into it. No one suddenly backslides. I see someone else, we see someone who fall away from the Lord, and we say, how could that be? He seems we were doing so well. Notice that the step of the may have been taken in secret, but it's taken clearly. Every moment, every day, we are either building up the spiritual character or we weakening it. We must always watch out. There is no such a thing as spiritual downtime or spiritual vacation or spiritual even retirement. Don't even think that you have some spiritual IRA you can withdraw and kick back and drink tall iced tea. As long as you have a breath in your lung, you have a fight in your hand spiritually. What is the starting point of backsliding? What is the starting point of backsliding? I find this way. Losing the first love of Jesus Christ is at the root of all sin. At the root of all sin. I've done several weddings. When I officiate weddings, it's kind of fun to watch the bride and groom because they have these gooey eyes. They look at each other, oh. And then they hold hands and they smile nonstop like absent-minded people. In the meanwhile, bride's father holding the bill from the wedding reception, he's about to have a heart attack. And they're just in love with each other. If someone come to them, to the bride and groom, and they said, you know, in a few years, you guys are going to end up in the divorce court, they would deny it emphatically. You know, I do pray for them. I do pray that their marriage would last a lifetime. However, listen, if that bride and groom lose their first love, there will be another statistic of the divorced couple in America, which is about 58% now. And the born-again Christians are not much different. Just like that, the believer loses his first love for the Lord, and backsliding is a natural course. You lose first love, backsliding is a natural course. Here the list of some typical symptoms of a backsliding person, though it is not a comprehensive list. See if your mindset fits with one of these symptoms. Would you put up the first one? Good, thank you. You come up with many silly excuses why you cannot read the Bible or have a daily devotion every day. I hope none of you have that excuse. If you have a time to read the newspaper, if you have a time to watch TV, you certainly have a time to study the Word of God. It takes 20 minutes to have a daily devotion. If you want to keep up with the Bible chart like I do and like many of you do, it takes about 30 minutes. Not much. Second symptom I find is you rather hang around with the worldly carnal people than godly people because it appeals to your flesh. Make sense? Some people, some Christians, don't want to hang around with another Christian. Why? Because it's boring to them. They'd rather hang around with somebody who drink brewski and do cussing and all that stuff and spit out some dirty joke. That's juicy. Not even juicy, it's a filthy. Third symptom I find, you start to find a fault with other Christians and blame them for not wanting to be with them. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever seen somebody doing that? Always it's somebody else's fault, isn't it? Fourth symptom I find is going to church become a burdensome and you feel that it is not necessary to go to church services and Bible studies that once you could not have enough. While we Karen and I were attending, and our family were attending the Calvary Tucson, we could go drive down about 4 miles from where we lived, but we chose to drive 13 miles one way. We did it 2 to 3 times a week without thinking. We could not wait to get to midweek service. We could not get to Sunday morning service because we knew we were going to get fat. Back to what I mentioned at the beginning. I kind of joked around with my wife. Someday, if everybody shows up, I'm going to have a heart attack. We have about 150 people, including all the children. If everybody shows up, probably I'll have a heart attack. And I'm going to think, is the rapture going to happen now? Why is that? Some of you cannot come because you have to work. I understand that. But some people just choose not to come because there's something good on TV. Really? The TV program is more important than God? See what I mean? People lose first love. Fifth symptom I find is that you start to lower your high godly standard to accommodate your compromise with the world. Backsliding of Israel started with the smartest man ever lived, King Solomon. He was told by the law of God that he should not marry any foreign woman who worshipped foreign idols. Guess what? He promptly disobeyed. He married 700 wives and 300 concubines. This guy was not thinking straight. And the Bible says that his wives turned his heart against God. This supposedly smartest man ever lived, introduced idol worship to Israel. 1 Kings chapter 11, please. 1 Kings chapter 11. In And some of you are thinking, we don't want you to have a heart attack, that's why I'm not coming to church. Yeah, I can just picture you. Yeah, it's a love, just like CJ says. Verse 4. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after another god, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God as was the heart of his father David. I'm sure you heard that someone wise, the real wise one said, if you give an inch to Satan, he will be your ruler. Have you heard that? I'm sure you have. In verse 14, we find the King Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylon, took many captives. Among them were Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego. Today, Satan wants to take our future generation. And by using the ungodly educational system, many university and college professors and school teachers are anti-God, and they would do anything, including twisting and deleting the truth, ignoring the truth, to capture the heart of our young people. Listen, please. Moms and dads, don't think that our church youth group or Sunday school for the children is good enough for your spiritual need for your children. We only have them for 2 hours at the maximum. Midweek service, Sunday morning service. Not even 2 hours. Maybe hour and a half at the maximum. Majority of time is spent in your home. If you don't provide that spiritual need, if you don't give them a Christian value and the truth of God from the Bible, they will be deceived. And you're going to wonder what happened. And they will become another of Satan's captive of the spiritual warfare. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 25. Now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, and the tenth day of the month, and the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it. They built the siege wall against it all around, and so the city was besieged until the 11th year of the king Zedekiah. By the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine had become so severe in the land, in the city, that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through. All the men of war fled at night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldean was still encamped all around against the city. The king went by way of the plain, and the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him, so they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah. And they pronounced judgment on him. Then they killed the son of Zedekiah, put the number one in front of Dan. They killed the son of Zedekiah before his eyes. That would have been number one. Number two, put out the eyes of Zedekiah. Number three is bound him with bronze fetters and took him to Babylon. The siege of the Jerusalem began on the January 588 BC, according to history, and continued until July 586, for a year and a half. When the famine was so severe, people were literally eating and cooking and eating their own children, according to Lamentation chapter 4. During this time of siege, hypocritical and weak king Zedekiah asked the prophet Jeremiah to ask God what he should do. And when the answer was given to him, he would not do. And Zedekiah asked Jeremiah to pray for him, yet the king was a proud man. He refused to humble himself and pray to God for himself. Do you know that is a typical attitude of the backsliding people? They want a favor from God, but they would not come to God in humility. Tell me that's not true. That is true. I find the three results of backsliding of the believers of God through this portion of the scripture. First thing, as we put in the numbers, they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. When a Christian backslides, the consequence of his or her sins even applies to his or her family member. Don't think that you are the only one who will go through. Your innocent loved ones will go through difficulties because of your sinful behavior. The second result is they put out the eyes of Zedekiah. They put out the eyes of Zedekiah. When a Christian backslider, he or she becomes spiritually blinded. They don't see what is right or wrong. There is no rationale. And that is what the sin does to us. Make us dumb and stupid and blind. Third result I find is they bound him with a bronze feather and took him to Babylon. Satan cannot possess the heart of the believers of Jesus Christ. Because when you become born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. Holy Spirit will not become the roommate of some demons. He will not share your heart with anyone else. However, believers can be oppressed, they can be attacked, and they can be addicted to the things that would ruin in his or her lives. Her whole life. Such as alcohol, drug, and pornography, and gambling, and many other things, due to the result of the backsliding. They become captives of their sins and think that there's no way out. Is it? We find God's mercy on verse 27. Now it came to pass, in the 37th year of the captivity of the Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, in the 12th month, and 27th day of the month, that Evil Merodach, don't ever try to name your kid Evil Merodach, it's not a good thing. Evil Merodach, the king of Babylon, in the year of he began to reign, they released Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garment, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provision, there was a regular ration given him by the king, a portion for each day and all the days of his life. I'm so glad that the Lord chose to include this in this dark chapter of the Israel history. Listen, there is no sin that God cannot forgive with the exception of an unrepentant sin. Let me say it one more time. There is no sin that God cannot forgive except with the exception of an unrepentant sin. While it is true God will pardon all sin, the sinners will have to come to Him in repentance. When a sinner comes to the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive his sins and to cleanse him from all unrighteousness. Folks, God forgives and forgets. God forgives and forgets. He is not only willing to forgive, but also pleased to use any vessel just as long as it's clean today. We mess up again, we come to Him and with the repentance, He will forgive us again and again. Would you put up the four verses one at a time? Isaiah 43:25, as we are going to memorize this week. I, God speaking, for am He who blot out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. God no longer remember the sins that you repent and you confess to God. Next verse, please. Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God does not give a condemnation. God gives us a conviction. Condemnation comes from Satan. Micah 7:19 says, once again you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sin under your feet and throw them into the depths of ocean. And Corrie Ten Boom said, the great believer of Jesus Christ, Corrie Ten Boom said, God will put the sign that says, no fishing. Next verse. Lamentations 3:22-23. Through the Lord's mercy we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Put them in your heart. Memorize these things. So when you sin against God, these verses will come to rescue. Come to your rescue. And when you repent, remember, there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, please. Pride paralyzes us. It deadens us to our need and numbs our feelings of gratitude toward God. But forgiveness releases us. Forgiveness releases us. We are happiest when we feel forgiven, free of a spiritual debt, free of a guilt, and free of shame. As many biblical scholars and Bible teachers, including myself, believe that we are living in the last days, end time. That means that rapture can happen any moment. You agree? There's not one prophecy need to be fulfilled before the rapture happens. It can happen any time. So let me ask you these two questions. In light of the rapture can happen any time, is it a good time to sin against God? That would be total, major hand in the cookie jar. You do about to do some bad sin and God said, bam, 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 it's a rapture time. Oh, bummer. That would be really, really bad time, don't you think? So, before you start to sin, ask yourself, is this a good time to sin against God? Second question, is this sin worth ruining my life, putting my family through misery, and bring disgrace to my God? Ask those two questions, and if you think that everything is good to go, go ahead. If you want to, you can sin. Your choice. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. You spoke loud and clear to us. We're asking you to go with us, empower us, that we may walk with you and have a fellowship with you every day, every moment. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.